Columbus, Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. Let's stand by for one of the greatest postal podcasts of all times. Branch President Kenny Hodge. Good morning, postal employees. This is Branch President, Columbus, Ohio, Kenny Hodge. But I've got a message today that kind of crosses over between mail handlers and clerks. And the message today that I want to share with you is the F1 scheduler. Now, let me start off by saying I'm really not addressing you this morning as a branch president. I'm addressing you this morning as a former postal manager that has dedicated the remainder of his career to National Postal Mail Handlers Union. And the reason I want to put that out in front is because if you don't agree with anything I said this morning, this is my opinion. My opinion based off of 25 years in postal management and understanding LDCs and understanding how post offices are put together. Now, I gotta tell you, that's kind of a unique skill set that not a whole lot of union folks possess. No disrespect, but unless you spent over 20 years in postal management and have ascended at least to level 23, then I'm probably going to speak from a perspective this morning that you're not very comfortable with. But I say this, and I will continue to say this. National Postal Mail Handlers Union, that's where my energy, that's where my drive goes. It is my intent, it is my desire to be a local president who uses his past life experiences to enhance or grow Local 304. So let's get started. And again, all I'm going to do is put enough information out that if you are hungry, you will search for the rest. I cannot put it all on the table for you because then we don't grow. But I'm going to give you enough information that will allow you to make informed decisions about things at work that affect the quality of your work life. Stand by while I just dig the groove for a second. Cool in the game. Cat straight out of Jersey. Here we go. Now, if we're going to talk F1, FU1, FK1, whatever you want to call it, what we're really looking at is the post office is setting up a platform, a module that will allow them to have minimum staffing requirements. Now, I say again, the F1, if you go to the baseline, what is the intent? The intent of the F1 is to allow the post office to have minimum staffing requirements. F1 is no more than a computer program where the Postal Service feeds in work hours and mail volumes, because that's really all they have to work with. We've got mail volume and we've got work hours. And with those two set of numbers, we can arrive at thousands of different postal reports. So again, that F1, I'm taking my mail volume and I'm taking my work hours and I'm crunching them in a manner that is not fully disclosed to the unions, but I'm crunching them, and I'm going to arrive at a target that will allow me to staff my post office in a minimum capacity. In other words, the design is not to staff for, the design is a minimal staff. Now, when we start talking about the clerks, and just so you know, when I sit here on this podcast and tell you I'm gonna staff my post office, I'm just speaking in third person. No, I'm not postal management. No, I have no desire to ever be postal management again. And I just think that postal management is a joke. I really do. Because they have all these excellent tools, but they refuse to use them. But let's go back. Now, when we start talking about the clerks, we have to understand LDCs, labor distribution codes. Because when I start gathering information to arrive at my clerk targets and data input, I'm going to use LDC 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, and 18. Those are the LDCs that are going to comprise how I arrive at clerks, the number of clerks. Now, I got to say this for a second, and they can question this all they like. I find it hard for you to have a model, for the post office to have a model on staffing requirements when, listen to me very carefully, there are no standards for postal employees. Yes, I said it and I'll say it again. When we went from the post office to the postal service, we tried to flip from a service industry to a production industry, but all we flipped, that's a President Trump word, and I hope I never say it again, but one more time. All we flipped was just the words. We didn't change any of the production standards. We didn't assign minimal standards to anything. We just said we're not a service organization. Now we're a production organization, and we expected it to change miraculously. Well, that's not how the game goes, and any business model will tell you that. We went from a business that we, in fact, we're not went from. The Postal Service is a business that is founded on discretionary effort. Yes, I say again, discretionary effort. That extra that you bring to work, that if you are treated fairly in your mind, you will give a little more to the company. Now, I don't care who argues that. That's a fact. They have standards of production for a machine, but not for the people. And that sounds complicated, but hey, that's what it is. So when I move over, now understand, I need LDCs 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, and 18. Those are the LDCs that make up my target and data input for my clerks. When I go over to the craft, which I'm so fond of, the mail handlers, they're going to use LDC 12, 13, 17, and 18. Now, you got to understand what these LDCs are and what goes inside, or what work is assigned to these LDCs. Now, when you start looking at LDC, let's for example, 17 for the mail handlers. Inside that LDC, I've got advanced phase cancelers, manual priority, collection 010 mail, dispatches, opening units. So there are a plethora of group names inside of each LDC. And if you want to understand the F1, then you have to do a little research. So I want you to understand what it is that you think you're mad about. Let's not just be mad because somebody from the union says, hey, this is not good for us. Well, let's understand why it's not good for us. We don't have to be robots walking around because someone said this is bad. We all jump on a bandwagon. It is bad. But I say this to you, and here's a very, very important fact. A couple of things that I want to point out that I find wrong with the F-21. I mean, just from its initial introduction. Number one, did you know that when we talk F-1 scheduling, the Postal Service selects a one-week anonymous period? They go into a whole year of work and they extrapolate 1 week worth of data, and that data is decided that we're going to use that data for the base for our new minimal staffing requirements. Now, I gotta tell you, the good side and the bad side. If you're the Postal Service and you take that data from a 1 week base, then you think that you're gonna reduce your work hours. Now, I have to say this to you also, and I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but trust me, when this series is over, you will have a better understanding. Whenever we have a grievance, management like to run and hide behind Article 3. And I'm sorry, on a lot of cases, the union upholds that BS. So now the union is saying, again, Article 3, because union, you can't tell, the post office is saying to the union, I own this business. You can't tell me how to staff it. And guess what? They are pretty much correct on that. Now, let me tell you what we do as mail handlers. When we understand or we lose sight of the fact that we have bid jobs in that whole bidding procedure that Columbus Post Office used, I think it is just antiquated and just some bull crap, actually. But when you have the proper bids, then maybe this F1 scheduler will do what it's supposed to do. For example, when you try to figure out how many level 5 pit operators you need, well, let me tell you something. In Columbus, everybody's on the same code. In other words, if you drive a jack tractor all day long, you're 129, 229, 329. There is no way to differentiate if you're driving for the flat unit, automation unit, universal sorter. It's just 29 code. And when I say 29, preceded by the number 1, 2, and 3. So then it's up to implant support to determine where those work hours are going to go. And this is where everything gets very messy. So I'm pointing out to you that when we say we don't like the F1, when we say the post office is robbing us with the F1, when we say the F1 is messing up our work facilities, our first question, and again, I say this with my years of postal management and my desire to go far in the union, I say this, that if we are going to fight the F1, our first point of contention, if I was in charge, would be, I'm going to argue against the volume that you set my office up against compared to actual volume on the F1. Before I start looking at, you took 5 mail handlers, you took 8 clerks, let me see, okay, if you adjusted my office on a volume of 2 million pieces, you took the week of productivity that had 2 million pieces, you put that into your software program, you spit out a minimal staffing requirement, and this is what it is. Now, before I start breaking down why you used what you used, I'm simply going to say to you, if you set my office up on 2 million pieces, but I'm constantly getting 5 million pieces, don't you think we should double the staff? So I'm going to argue the volume versus actual would be my first point of contention. But I think it's so funny to know that the post office, and let me tell you, they got some super intelligent people in there. You can say what you want to say about them, but we have a lot of doctorate degrees holders. Everybody up at that level's got at least a BA degree. So we're not talking about people who are not smart. But I think when you put that many smart people together, positive versus negative comes into effect, and we get some really juvenile decisions or processes that are supposed to govern the manner in which we work. So again, F1 is a computer programmer, it's a software program that the post office picks an anonymous week. Again, not a month, not a counting period, a week. So when you go into this already, it is not, you cannot adjust an office on a week's data. So when the post office starts this nonsense, already they're starting a bunch of what I call buffoonery. So you take that week, you put that volume in for that week. Now here's the other side of the continuum, or the coin is, if they take an extremely heavy week, let's say they adjust you for a 5,000 mail piece week, 5 million pieces, but now you average 2 million, should they be allowed to come in and then make another adjustment? So again, we have to understand this in its totality and understand that the post office is riddled with games. They have very intelligent people who, instead of using their intellect, again, they placate situations that were doomed from the beginning. And what I mean by that is, you are trying to adjust a postal facility based off of a 1 week's volume indicator. Well, you're going to come out wrong. And what happened was, my understanding was, headquarters went back and understood what they did and gave limited authority to adjust it. Now, let me tell you something else from a postal perspective. When they made that adjustment to these offices based off the last F1, oh, by the way, they're about to start the new set now, so I hope that they're going to use better volume figures than they did the last time. Now, again, I'm just trying to give you an explanation of what's encompassed in this F1 scheduler, because all I hear from the unions is it's bad, it don't work. Why is it bad? Why don't it work? Well, let me say this to you, and this actually goes out to Local 304. While I was in management, I was on numerous complement committees. I have personally adjusted levels on offices in customer service using a staff analysis called service work credits. And the only reason I bring this out now is, again, I'm a union through and through right now, but because of a difference with me and my local president, I've got knowledge on adjusting offices, higher or lower, looking at service work credits to determine the level of office is going to be. And with this knowledge, I'm still not allowed to even participate in understanding this F1 with the union. And I think that's just horrible. And again, I want to say to the members of 304, I'm going to bring a different type of leadership to our local. It doesn't matter to me that, and I'm not going to say it don't matter, but the fact that me and a branch, once I'm local president, the fact that me and a branch president don't agree, well, we just don't agree. I mean, I don't see me coming to suspend you out of your office or put someone else in charge of your office because you and I don't agree, unless we've gone through a process and by us not agreeing, it is hurting the craft. But us not agreeing because you have, excuse me, I'm going to speak it like I feel it right now. Us not agreeing because I have a much more in-depth knowledge base than the current local president has. So rather than make me a part of the team, it's just better if I go away. Well, local president 304, Bit McLemore, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going away. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move into your office. And I'm going to do this with the help of our members. I have skills. I have the temperament. I have the desire to lead our local in a more of a positive manner. And I just got to get this message out to all of Indiana, Kentucky, and the rest of Ohio, because Ken Hodge is not going anywhere. Nowhere. 180 degrees. New direction. That's where we're going as a local.